In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, our Advent King. Anticipation is sweet, isn't it? By anticipation, I don't mean anxiety. I don't know if you've ever noticed that many people confuse the two. They use the word anxious when they should be using the word anticipate. Anticipation is looking forward with excitement for an event that is soon to take place. For example, 35 years ago, this coming Tuesday, my wife and I were in the airport in Los Angeles, eagerly anticipating the arrival of our new daughter from Korea. Likely you have a similar story or remembrance. The entire Old Testament period was a time of anticipation for the coming of the birth of the promised Savior. The entire New Testament era in which we live is an eager anticipation, a looking forward to an event that will soon take place, the coming again of the King of Glory. The Savior of the world, the King of Glory, is one and the same person. It is Jesus. He is Jesus the Christ. Since He is our Savior from sin, and since He is our King of Glory, we want to know more about Him, don't we? So this morning we turn in our second Psalm, second Advent Psalm, Psalm 24, which answers the question, who is this King of Glory? And it's a threefold answer. He is the owner of the earth and everything in it. He is the giver of vindication. He is the one who is coming in. Psalm 24 clearly is messianic. It anticipates the coming of the Savior from His regal, glorious throne on high in heaven into that lonely, or rather lowly, manger bed in Bethlehem. The Son of God brought all of His glory with Him when He was born of the Virgin Mary. The Son of Man, in His humiliation, however, did not fully manifest or use all of that glory when He was here. But make no mistake, that Son of God living in eternity on the throne of heaven, and that little baby born in that feed box behind the inn, is one and the same person. He is the one who has come for us. And so in this Advent season, following John the Baptist's call to repent of your sins, to make your rough ways smooth, to straighten out those crooked paths that you're walking, to fill in those pitfalls and pits into which we all stumble and go headlong into when we turn away from God. Following John the Baptist's call to repent, welcome Jesus Christ into this world. Welcome your Savior. Welcome your King of Glory. Why? Because He owns the earth and everything in it. He is God the Creator. David, the author of Psalm 24, wrote, The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Jesus, as Creator God, owns you body and soul. He owns everything that you have, everything that exists in the universe. That's why we worship him. That's why we love him. Because as Christians, we recognize that. We recognize him and love him as the owner of everything. The King of Glory, our Savior, has given us everything for us to use for the good of the church. That's why we love him. That's why we serve him. That's why we repent of our harsh words to one another. Why we acknowledge before God our lustful thoughts. While we freely admit to God those actions in our lives that flow from the old Adam in us that rebel against him. But after David identified the King of Glory as the Creator God, the owner of the earth and everything in it, he asked this musical question. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? We heard the prophet Malachi ask a similar question in our first lesson for today. King David was asking the question, who of us would dare to go up and approach the tabernacle? And he was anticipating the building of the temple on Zion, the hill in Jerusalem on which the temple sits. Who would be able to approach those things? Because the tabernacle and later the temple is the presence of God. The presence of the holy God is there. Who can approach him? Who would dare go up to his mountain or approach his holy place? Good question. How am I, a sinner, able to approach the holy God? How dare I approach him with my sins? Who do I think I am that I can offer my prayers to the holy God? What right do I have to expect anything from God except his harsh judgment and his punishment? Well, the answer to David's musical question is because the Son of God became the Son of Man. My Savior is my King of Glory. The eternal Son of God came into this world and by his obedience under the law earned a righteousness that God declares applies to you and to every human being. It is a righteousness that God gives us subjectively through faith as the Holy Spirit works in us. God owns us body and soul because he created us. But he owns us body and soul because he redeemed us on the cross. And he owns us body and soul because he has called us by the gospel out of unbelief and into saving faith. We dare go before the holy God confessing our sins because we go in the name of the giver of vindication. We can offer our prayers to God in the name of the one who vindicated us. We can expect God to take care of us and provide for us because God has in Christ vindicated us from every sin that we have ever committed or will commit. God has vindicated us from every guilt that we have because of our sins against God. David, so lyrically, put it this way, he who has clean hearts or clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God the Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. We are that generation of those who seek him. The Lord look on you with his favor, we'll say in the blessing. Or as we used to say, the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. And that lift up, the old way, fits in nicely with what David says here about lifting up you gates and be lifted up you ancient doors. However you say it, it means that you and I may always seek the face of God and will always find it smiling and accepting of us because of our Savior, because of the King of Glory, the giver of vindication. Who is this King of Glory? He is the one who came to save his people from their sins. He is the one who has come to gather the nations from the earth. He is the one who has cleansed us from every accusation of sin and every responsibility of guilt. That's why we welcome him. That's why we worship him. That's why we love him. That's why we serve him, because he is the giver of vindication. That's why we go to his manger and humbly bow our hearts before him, and why, when he returns, we will lift up our faces toward him and welcome him in all his glory. Because he took our humility, our guilt of our sins when he came the first time, and we will receive him with his glory that he gives us when he comes the second time. But King David also talks about who is this King of Glory with the answer, he is the one who comes in, who enters. David returned the Ark of the Covenant to the tabernacle after the Philistines had captured it in the day of Eli. Some suggest that David wrote Psalm 24 in response to this. We don't really know. Maybe, maybe not. But the people were looking forward to the return of the Ark of the Covenant, to say the least. They were so excited when they got the Ark of the Covenant back to put in the tabernacle and later in the temple, because what did that mean for them? It meant God's finally come home. God is finally back in our midst. God has come back to us. Is that how you anticipate Christmas? Is that how you are preparing to welcome Jesus in Bethlehem? And when the last trumpet sounds, are you welcoming him because God is coming back to us? Because God is coming to us? Next time you go to the mall, or next time you go shopping and you people watch, which I like to do, I think to myself, how many of those people who are anticipating Christmas, who are anticipating the birth of Christ, are they anticipating his return? Are they anticipating his birth and his return as the coming of God, the creator and owner of everything, as the one who vindicated mankind on the cross, as the one who enters our hearts through the preaching of the gospel, for which we prepare by repentance? I always answer my own question. I'm sure many of them are looking forward to the birth of Jesus because they trust that he is their Savior from sin And many of them are looking forward to his coming again when they meet their Savior either in death or when the Lord returns. It's my hope and prayer that that's the way that you are anticipating Christmas, the way that you are looking forward to the return of Jesus as God coming into our midst, as God coming back into our midst and taking us to be with him forever in heaven. It's time to lift up the gates. It's time for those everlasting doors to be lifted up. And there David was referring to when a king was coming, the townspeople would lift the gates. They would raise the gates so that the king and his royal procession could come in. That was John the Baptist's message. Lift the gates of your hearts. Lift the doors of your heart in joy, in anticipation. In eager anticipation and expectation through repentance, through acknowledging your sins and trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is our victorious King. He has defeated every enemy. He has won every battle for us. We know that because his tomb is empty. We know that because the Father took him back into heaven, there to rule over all things for the sake of the church. That's why we worship him. That's why we wait for him and welcome him. That's why we love him. That's why we serve him. Because he is our triumphant king who has destroyed all of our enemies. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Anticipation, not anxiety. Anxiety means to be afraid of something that is coming. Anticipation, an eager expectation of something good and wonderful that's coming in the future. To be excited about it. King David wrote this song, Psalm 24, about his excitement about that. And the Holy Spirit has preserved and passed that song that he wrote through David's pen so that you and I could enjoy it. And so we could sing it. And so, let's sing it.